Welcome to another highly questionable, This one more questionable than most because we got more people around here to analyze some football. Let's get to it, Brady Bunch style.
Should we respect Antonio Brown for getting himself onto the Patriots?
What an amazing turn of events here where everything seemed like it was fine last week when we left the air. And then we come back today and now he's on the Patriots. He's probably going to play against the Dolphins wearing a Raiders helmet because that one has been approved. You find yourself in an interesting position with him today because he gets a raise in New England if everything works out here. This works out perfectly for him. They're going to be great with him or without him, but it costs him his good name because he has not played in a game, and we used to think of him as just excellent at his job. And without playing a game last year through this year, now we think he's a clown show.
I want to throw out a hypothesis, which is that Antonio Brown's behavior is not commendable, it is not cunning, but it is also not the end of civil society as we know it. Because people are talking about him today like he's some sort of evil genius. Dan, yes, it's possible that he could get a raise, but it's unlikely. He walked away from more than $15 million in guarantees. Like, I don't think Antonio Brown is out here playing 4D chess. I also don't think his behavior is as terrible as it's being portrayed. It seems to be eliciting more outrage than actual crimes. He is not the winner here. The only winner is the same as always. It's New England.
Well, I don't know if they're going to win in the long run, because I think what we can say is Antonio Brown, if you want to make sense of the way that he's behaving, is he wants to be a celebrity. And everything he's done up until this point has made him more and more famous. And I don't think that's going to stop. I do think that everyone is giving the Patriots a ton of credit and benefit of the doubt, which they've earned. And they've pointed to other examples of Chad Johnson going there or Albert Haynesworth going there and not working out and they get rid of him. But they've never had a situation where someone played well on the field and was a problem in the locker room. That's what I expect is going to happen, is he's going to ball out because he can ball, but he's not going to stop doing these little things where he's trying to get more attention. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a locker room recording of Bill Belichick from AB leaked out, and then what are the Patriots going to do? They're going to get rid of this all-time great receiver? They probably will. Probably still win the Super Bowl. But anyway, there's hope.
Well, I have a prediction. Next week, the Patriots are going to beat the Dolphins 95-0. That's it.
Yeah, I mean,
really points going out on a limb there.
Is Big Ben right to blame himself for the Steelers' loss to the Patriots?
Saw a lot of his sad, bloated face last night. You're going to see a lot of him scrambling around, looking like a skyscraper with legs this season, because who else is there to blame? Le'Veon Bell is gone. Antonio Brown is gone. And you saw what happens to him, one of the best quarterbacks of his era, when his skill guys are gone. Now, New England's defense is very good, and Pittsburgh will solve some of this stuff. But some of it is going to be him aging poorly, because he doesn't exactly take care of his body the way that Tom Brady did.
So, yeah, it was really ugly for week one, 33-3. I think we could get into a bit of overreaction mode. We can go back to many games where future Super Bowl champ Patriots start off really poorly. So I could say that maybe it'll get better for them as a team. But I do think the idea that Ben is willing to take responsibility and show that he's not going to blame his teammates is a good thing for him. That's something that he hasn't done in the past. And while he may not be turning over a new leaf, at least he's behaving in that way. And I think that bodes well for this team going forward.
Imagine being a Steelers fan. The last 48 hours, what it's been like for you, right? Like, all summer, you've been telling anyone who listen, oh, we will be better without Antonio, addition by subtraction. Then he melts down in Oakland, and you're feeling vindicated and good. And then less than 24 hours, he signs with your most dreaded enemy. Now, in a just world, in the eyes of this fan, you would go out, you'd go to Foxborough, you'd ball out, and you'd show everyone that they were wrong. But in the real world, where the Patriots exist, that didn't happen. In fact, the opposite happened. Not only did Ben look bad, but all the skill players looked bad. It was very obvious last night how much he needs Antonio Brown, and the whole world saw it.
Yeah, as much as we give credit to Mike Tomlin, and he deserves it for holding all this stuff together with those personalities, no one's ever talked about Mike Tomlin being some great tactician. And you know what helps when you're not a great tactician? Having really, really impressive players. And they don't have those anymore. Those type of generational players, and that's an overused term, but I think it's fair for Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. They make a mediocre coach into a good coach and allow Mike Tomlin to do the things that he does well. So I think they're definitely going to miss them, but they'll be better than they were last night.
Well, I know another quarterback who blames himself for losing to the Patriots.
No.
That's right. Thank you, Poppy.
Yeah.
Oh, long distance remote. He shames Mina again. Good point, Poppy. I'd forgotten about that.
The good thing about not being there is I don't have to watch.
Why didn't they run the ball?
That's
the question.
Really? Really?
That's
really?
Right. That's the question.
Really?
That's right.
My father
really?
Keeps asking you.
I mean,
such a good question.
Yeah.
They had Marshawn Lynch.
Or at least not throw it over the middle. I mean.
Do the Browns deserve the benefit of the doubt?
They only deserve the doubt. They do deserve no benefits whatsoever. Odell Beckham running around with a $350,000 watch on. Jarvis Landry after the game getting mad at reporters. This is exactly the most catastrophic way that you could have started your season. At home, losing by 30 to these nowhere Titans that every year are in the mix, but you never expect to win anything meaningful. This is exactly the way you don't want to start the season. The Cleveland Browns, again, 2 decades now they've been it, again a laughingstock today.
Hey, Dan, tighten up. As someone who may have written a cover story with the headline, "The Cleveland Browns have a new leash on life," that was a pun, there were dogs, it would be a little bit rich for me to bury the team today, or for anyone, given how much we hype them, but they absolutely deserve criticism. Going into the end of the third quarter, they were only down by two. And then everything imploded. The offensive line imploded. The quarterback imploded. The defense couldn't stop a screen. And when you fail in all phases of the game, that falls at the feet of the head coach. Freddie Kitchens has to turn this around or it's going to be a long season.
Yeah, it's overreaction Monday, so it would be an overreaction to say that they are as bad as they look. But the point that you made about it all falling at the feet of Freddie Kitchens is a problem. I think if there were some other issues, you could say that we could get better there, or this was a mistake, or this was an aberration. But when the issues point directly to a coaching problem, that does scare me. And as for Odell Beckham, he's got a ball if he's going to wear a watch like that. I love the idea. I think it's beautiful. It's great. He's one of the only football players who, like, attracts real marketing money from Nike and can sell jerseys and sell apparel. And I think part of him doing that is being able to say, I balled out with the price of a small house on my wrist. But the problem is, you got to ball out.
Freddie Kitchen, he laid the big fat egg. As a matter of fact, he looks like a big fat egg. That's right.
Really?
I'm in no position to be making fun of anyone's weight. He looks eggish as well, but point taken.
How much credit does Lamar Jackson deserve for kicking the out of the Dolphins?
That was an international embarrassment. That was more points than the Ravens have ever scored in a regular season game. That reminded me of Dan Marino's last game, the last saddest game played by this franchise, where he lost 62-7 in the playoffs. They had, along their front line, the Dolphins, a total of 5.5 career sacks. But I will not dilute that performance from that 21-year-old kid who last year was the best 21-year-old passer in the history of the sport. He seems to have learned something. This improvement seems measured, and it won't be diluted just because they were playing against a minor league team yesterday.
Yeah, they did play against a team that clearly is not putting together a roster that wants to win, but there were still a lot of NFL players out there that were very good. And still, 5 touchdowns in the first half. That's impressive. You can't do that against if they were playing a college opponent. And as bad as Miami looks like they're going to be, they weren't throwing those passes for Lamar Jackson. The questions about Lamar Jackson have never been about his ability to read defenses. From all accounts, he's good as that. It's never been about his ability to stay in the pocket and go through his progressions. As much as people want to say dual threat quarterbacks like him can't do that, he's always done that well. The only question about Lamar Jackson was, can he deliver the ball accurately, consistently? And he did that today. So I'm really high on them and high on this team that has decided to build around him.
So Dominique and I might be in the tank for Lamar Jackson. But speaking of tanks, the Miami Dolphins, yes, are absolutely terrible. But two things can be true. They can be terrible, and Lamar Jackson can also play great against them. Yes, they don't have many good players on their defense, but two of their players in their secondary are actually quite good, Minkah Fitzpatrick and Xavien Howard, and Lamar was throwing on them with touch and accuracy. And if he can do that, given how electric he is as a runner, given how diverse and multiple the Ravens' rushing attack is, those throws will be there against good NFL defenses. And if he can execute them, that team is scary.
I think the reason why Mina said that we are in the tank for Lamar Jackson is we wrote a piece about him before the draft a couple of years ago. And in that piece, we kind of laid out exactly the way that you should build an offense around Lamar Jackson. And I'm assuming the Ravens must have read it because they did exactly what we said from the draft to the plays that they run to the time in which they took shots. Yeah.
nice.
That doesn't work that way. That doesn't.
It
both
works.
Of your hands were just
we're
severed.
Just fine.
Your hands were
there
severed.
It's flawless.
Celebration.
Come on here. Perfect.
Perfect. Severance of your hands.
No, pull it back. Pull it back. There you go. Pull it back, Mina. A little bit back.
So
a little
much
bit
more
back,
giant than
there
her.
There it is.
Coming up next on my son's TV show.
I don't understand why these three children are doing things like wiping their noses and pointing at me and giggling.
My son's TV show is brought to you by eBay. Get exactly what you want on eBay. Should Jerry Jones be in a rush to extend Dak?
Bobby Marks is our numbers guy on salary cap stuff, and he had a good stat that Julio Jones, who got that guaranteed $66 million, more than any receiver ever has, that would have put him 21st this last NBA offseason behind Bogdanovich. I believe that's a CBA that Dominique Foxworth negotiated for the NFL players. Dak Prescott should walk off the field right now and threaten not to play this next Sunday after that start. If you want to start making these messes in the NFL the way you are in the NBA, he'd never do it because he's a quarterback, but he could get his money here given the value of the position, given how well he played yesterday.
Dan's right. I mean, the time for Jerry to pay Dak was this summer before he started playing, because every time he plays well, his price tag goes up, not just because of his performance, but because a big reason why quarterbacks take money early is the risk of injury. And now instead of 16 games during which he could get injured, it goes down to 15, 14, 13. His risk is declining. He was awesome yesterday. It deserves some caveat. The Giants defense was not very good, but Kellen Moore was incredible. The skill players looked incredible. And Jerry Jones has to be looking at this performance and seeing it for what it is, which is a double-edged sword.
So first of all, Dan, it's unfair for you to try to bring up a complex issue like CBA negotiations, just throw it out there like this, and then we're just expect to move on. But I'll let that go for now. Obviously, he should have paid him a long time ago, not only because he's played for it and earned it, but he was a fourth-round draft pick. So they've frankly been stealing from him up until this point. He's been giving them Pro Bowl-caliber performance up until now, and he's been big in the biggest moments in the playoffs. Even in their playoff losses, which people like to hang on Dak Prescott, he had an over 70 QBR, which is higher than Tom Brady has in playoff losses. So Dak Prescott has been good and deserves his money. But this team has made many errors leading up to this process, but they're in this position that they're in now in large part because of Dak Prescott. So I think they should certainly pay him. They should have a long time ago.
I mean, Mitch Trubisky had a higher QBR than Dak last year. You want to pay Mitch Trubisky, though?
No, I don't want to pay Mitch Trubisky. Mean, I thought you were on my team. I thought we were teammates. Are we not together on this?
You
trying to turn this into first take?
Well, Jerry Jones is going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars, and he still is not going to make it past the second round.
I mean,
That's what's going to happen.
22 years, guys. We just spent all his money, too. We just got on television and spent all the money he's got left.
No, he's got a lot more left.
Was Kyler Murray as good as advertised?
So for 2.5 quarters yesterday, and Detroit, Arizona tying is the most Lions and most Cardinals thing ever. But for 2.5 quarters there, you were wondering whether Kyle Kingsbury's collegiate nonsense would work in the NFL. And Kyler Murray was getting his passes knocked down as well. And then in the fourth quarter, all of a sudden, he's just running around and he's throwing the football all over the place and his protection was holding up as well. I don't understand why these three children are doing things like wiping their noses and pointing at me and giggling.
But it's only
pick up.
I'll tell you why. It's because you called him Kyle Kingsbury. Poppy, move over. Dan's taking your seat.
Keep it.
Yeah, so it's no. We're leaving that in, buddy. We're leaving that in. You called him Kyle Kingsbury. It's Cliff with a K. Cliff Kingsbury. So I think that Kyler Murray has been incredible in the second half. The first half was not very impressive. But the great thing about Kyler Murray is that he's going to save Cliff Kingsbury's job before it's even in jeopardy. And the general manager, Steve Keim, when you throw everything out, including a first-round draft pick quarterback and Josh Rosen, the guy that you bring in had better be special, and he was in the second half. For all the talk that we have about air raid offense, and it's going to be different, it's going to change football, blah, 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 there were no receivers running open at any point in this game. In the first half, it showed Kyler Murray couldn't do much. In the second half, Kyler Murray just did Kyler Murray things, and he's going to be a special player for years to come. And he might drag these two guys along with him. That's Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff with a K.
Cliff. First of all, Dan, my nose was itchy, and I'm going to scratch it again. Second of all, no, he was not as good as advertised, because what was advertised to me was an offensive revolution. And I agree with Dominique. In the first half, they got too cute. Cliff Kingsbury's thing is rolling out 300 wide receivers, but out of empty, they accrued 0 yards. Then Kyler Murray bailed him out with his athleticism and his skill, some of the stuff we saw in college. But this offense needs to make some adjustments going forward, because apparently it doesn't work as well in the NFL.
You know what was he thinking during the first half?
What's that, Bob?
I wonder if it is too late to play baseball.
It's always too late to play baseball, to be clear.
Mm. Questionable is broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami. Time to play the game that sat on the couch for 10 hours straight yesterday. Do you question?
No time for the bathroom, no time for a shower. You give us topics and events, we question them.
Do you question Cam Newton's look?
You look like a grieving widow whose all her husbands have died suspiciously in suspicious causes. Let's see what we have here from Cam Newton and the look he decided to sport. I mean, he does it, he wears it slightly better than my father, but not that much better. Than my father. No one can wear that well. He's going to wear it better than most, but no one can wear that well. What is he doing, guys?
Yeah, I don't know. It looks pretty weird and looks awful. It looks better on Poppy than it does on Cam, in my opinion. But the bad part is he has to go and do the press conference after the game. You need a winning outfit and a losing outfit. Because when you lose and you play poorly, which he did, you can't walk out on a stage like that.
Poppy, look, you look like an evil beekeeper. You look like a character in a video game that's about to curse someone.
He looked like a grandmother and he played like one, too.
That's fair. Arm's a little weak.
Really? Really? You're going to say that someone else looks like a grandmother right now? Really?
Time to play the game that has been recording my phone calls with Dan, and I'm going to put them on YouTube. See? Oh, no.
You tell us what to watch on television tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued.
There's a delay!
Tonight on ESPN, a Monday Night Football doubleheader, Saints and Texans and Broncos and Raiders.
Oh, yeah, interested in both of these. But if I had asked you a couple of days ago, who's going to look more like a fool on Monday, Antonio Brown or John Gruden? What would you have answered? Because John Gruden's not looking so good these days. Listen to him at the presser trying to explain away a mess.
Second straight year where you're starting a season having just lost a really talented player. Obviously, last year, Khalil, this year, Antonio.
Well, I got to meet this guy. I got to meet Antonio. I never got to meet Khalil, so at least I got to meet a great player.
So progress. Mina, are you intrigued?
Of course I am, but John Gruden signed his $100 million deal months before Mac was traded. Like, maybe they should have not? Maybe that's the problem?
Yeah.
It's one of the problems. Dominique, are you intrigued?
Of course. It's Monday Night Football. It's back. I'm going to watch the game. I'm not very intrigued with the Raiders, though. I thought they were going to be bad with AB. I think they're going to be even worse without AB. They're gearing up for a move. That's the time when I think John Gruden's going to try to make this team good, and that's not this year.
How about you, Poppy? Are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. I tell you one thing. I have been waiting for this game a long time, because you know who's going to be the quarterback for the Broncos? My favorite QB, Jose Flacco. You know, this guy, I tell you, he's getting his second chance. He's ready for the challenge, you know. And I tell you, he's 63 years old, and he's going to come through tonight. I'm telling you, this guy is going to show the NFL that he got what it takes.
At 63 years old.
Streaming on TLC UK, Extreme Cheapskates.
Oh, these people, they've got disorders, and it makes me sad. But sometimes it makes me laugh as well. So let's see what we have here.
One of the times that I noticed that Amy was a cheapskate was I came to her house. She asked me, did I want lunch? So I said, sure. She fixed me a tuna fish sandwich. As I'm eating the sandwich, I'm thinking, this is a little fishy. What is this?
Mike, lunch is ready.
And then I looked on the countertop and I noticed there were cat food cans that were empty.
No.
I thought, no.
No.
She didn't do this.
Here, Major, some tuna fish.
Oh, great.
No, I don't think Amy has actually ever fed anyone cat food, but I wouldn't put it past her to try.
Oh, no.
Tuna fish for people, 89 cents. Cat food for cats, 59 cents. Ooh.
I just saved 30 cents.
That's good.
God, that's disgusting. Dominique, are you intrigued?
No, I'm not intrigued. And you're right. There's something wrong with this view. Not only does she need to save the money to this degree, but that she's not even smart enough to hide it. How are you going to leave the evidence on the counter? That's disgusting. Her friend should have fought her.
Mina, you're not intrigued.
No, but as someone who feeds her dog organic free-range pate, pet food is actually pretty good these days. Now, I would never eat Lenny's food, mostly because I wouldn't want to make him mad.
You know whose house I'm not eating at. Mina.
Oh, my God. What a terrible admission. Poppy, are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. But this guy is in for a big surprise, buddy. I tell you one thing. He's going to be running to that bathroom yeah, 30 probably. Minutes after he that cat food. Yes, he's going to stay on that
right
toilet for a long time.
Cat food goes I'm right telling through you one notoriously.
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for watching.
That was a lot of fun. Check out Dominique Foxworth's work at The Undefeated, and check out Mina Kimes, her podcast with Lenny. Check it out on all your Apple and other devices.
There you go. Mina, get it together, Mina.
Poppy diagonally.
Dan, come on, Dan. Yeah. Come give me some love, Dan. Oh, right there in the middle, Dan.
I'm giving you love.
Me in the middle. Okay. Over here, Dan. No, Dan.
Put them in close. Put them in close.
All together. Captain Planet.
Oh! Mina, he got you!
I got
Mina,
you!
Mina, he got you! Mina! Mina! He got you!
That was everyone, not just me!
Just you, Mina. Just you.